it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back hour here on Fesco and Dusty with Mac Morey with you as well.
Damn, glad to have you.
One more day till Friday. Gotta love that. Almost there. From the 785, why do you guys call him Tube? Was one of you being Daryl and accidentally called him that? Well, if you go back to the
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Joe, about a couple months ago, Mac was talking about the special teams, and he just accidentally said, you know, Dave, too. I mean, Tobe. So that's the answer to that question.
He made a mistake, and it stuck.
Yeah, well, you mentioned Dave Tube.
Tobe.
So there you go.
You guys both did Tobe.
We're here to answer questions.
There it is.
913-586-7965.
All right, here we go. Yeah, well, you mentioned Dave Tube.
Tobe.
It's good, man. It's stuck. It's funny.
It's funny. It's great. Funny. Yeah.
It's great.
I was in it for some reason, man. I was ready to go. Dave Tube.
Yeah. Dave Tube.
Yeah, you were ready. You were spitfire hot take with Dave Tobe, and it came out Dave Tube. Oh, no.
Dang it.
Where's all my credibility?
What?
BBL stinky.
That's good. We've got a lot of drops on this show.
Yes.
You know, I didn't say the word clock one day. We got that one in the system as well.
Yes.
Alex Gold has a big dinger. That's because there was a dinger bet for home runs on FanDuel. By the way, Alex Gold will join us here in about 10 minutes or so. They are live at Rally House on remote today, so they won't be in studio. Now the jingle will be in everybody's head for the rest of the
your
effing
city,
day.
It's your house, it's your rally house.
Chiefs Royals K-State makes Casey great.
I love watching the other broadcast and seeing the other cities that have Rally House and them trying to fit the same like jingle in with their team.
Oh, it doesn't work.
Pirates, Steelers, Penguins, and more. You know, like they got the one in Pittsburgh. I think it's outstanding. There's one in Texas. The Astros, the Rangers, the Longhorns. It continues on and on because there's like 85 teams down there. They've done a great job, man. That's a Kansas City business that's taken over the world.
Love it.
From a sporting goods standpoint. Love those folks over at Rally House. They do such an amazing job, and they've done a great job of growing that company. So I always find it fun when I see other games and I'm watching other broadcasts to see their commercials. I'm like, those are our guys, because everybody in the commercial is a KC person too.
For the text line.
Hey, Daryl.
That's right. Sorry that truck driving and coal mining are not jobs. Xavier Worthy we're thinking this week, and no Jalen Royals. At least that's what the report would say. If we're reading between the lines, we obviously know Xavier Worthy's definitely not going to play. We don't know. We know. And Jalen Royals out, a receiver that could be an option. So I ask you guys, who's a name or names that you want to see step up in a role maybe they're not comfortable with, but the best way to get comfortable is being uncomfortable.
Yeah, Hollywood Brown for me. You're now the veteran wide receiver on this team.
10 for 99.
And had a great first night. And that's kind of in my notes. Pick up from where you left off, man. He was fantastic once, you know, Xavier Worthy went down. And this week he will be listed as doubtful. Next week, probably questionable. I think we got a really good opportunity to see him play next week just from talking to people around the team and whatnot. So I think this is kind of a short-lived thing with Xavier Worthy being out. But I want Hollywood Brown to do it, man. Like, you're the veteran wide receiver. You need your veterans to step up in those crucial situations. Kind of a crucial situation this week, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, I'll go a couple of ways here because I think Xavier Worthy, one, we all know how great he is and how much he means to this offense. It's going to be tough for just one guy to step that up. We're talking about 7, 8, 9 catches
for a guy like Xavier. So I'm going to go Tyquan Thornton for the deep portion of Xavier's role. That deep ball, taking the top off. We saw it once on Friday night. We've talked about it in training camp. The team really likes him. He showed up.
Like, no, they really like Tyquan Thornton.
Well, I don't think that.
Yeah, well, it is true, Jay.
It's true.
Yeah, no, they do, because I've had talks with some folks, and like they like his speed a lot. You could tell the timing was off with him and Patrick Mahomes, because I think Mahomes is on the timing for Worthy, and Worthy's the fastest guy in the NFL. Yeah. And so when you've got the fastest guy in the NFL, and then you've got like the third fastest guy in the NFL, there's a gap there. And so that's why that timing was off between those two. To me, that wasn't because they weren't on the same page. That's because Patrick Mahomes that was a play that was for Xavier Worthy. All of those Tyquan Thornton deep balls that we saw in the game, those were all Xavier Worthy plays that were in the playbook that they couldn't use with Xavier Worthy because he got hurt.
Yeah, saw that diving catch. That throw may have been for Xavier.
That's
too,
a touchdown if Xavier Worthy can,
100%,
you know?
100%. And then Kelsey, yeah. Get open underneath. Get catch. I mean, I know he had a good game, but it wasn't a great game. They're going to need to have him.
Well, they had two catches.
Exactly. They need to have him 5-6 catches. That's going to need to be Travis. You got to get open, dude. You have to get open.
Yeah, you got to be the guy. You can't run the wrong route. You can't knock somebody out of the game. And look, I think that refocuses Travis Kelce too. Again, being around this team for the last decade, as much as we have, you hear things, you see things, you recognize things. Travis Kelce's down and out for what he did to Xavier Worthy. That tells me, all right, man, I'm putting on the Superman cape. Let's go. And Chris Jones kind of down and out for the way that he played in that game. Put on your damn Superman cape. Let's go.
Hey, baby, how you doing?
I've got a couple names that I want to see step up. I think there's been a couple of times we've seen this this season and in the past. Juju's a name. Right. For those of you that are out there, and we'll talk to Alex Gold about this as well for the Chiefs game. Juju's a guy, man. He's, you know, the equivalent to what Travis Kelce will run, but in the receiver position, maybe in the slot a little bit. Maybe they line him up outside, have him do like the long over the field if Mahomes can get time to do that. But Juju always seems to step up when you need somebody. Right. In the Super Bowl when they beat Philadelphia, big game. And the game last week, big game for Juju Smith-Schuster, as we'll probably add our three-leg parlay. Maybe I stick to the Juju well. I don't know. The other guy I'd like to see step up, because we were talking to, I believe it was Binkley on Wednesday, and he was talking about how they had the three tight end sets out there, and they didn't throw the tight ends.
Didn't throw them.
Noah Gray, right?
Yeah.
Like, maybe you are the bridge gap between the next tight end that will come in and learn things after Travis Kelce has departed from this team. And Noah Gray, you might be the guy they trust for a couple years. You might be the guy that becomes the tight end one on this team. Go out there and be one. You're a big body guy. Mm-hmm. You have trust with Patrick Mahomes. You don't drop the ball. You can go out there and make a difference. And if you can let Noah Gray for a couple of weeks, again, I don't need to see 15 games of Noah Gray balling, but I'd like to see these moments.
What if he's
like,
really good? I would like to see it too.
That'd
though,
be sick
you know?
If that happens. And you fall into this, you know, happy accident, as Bob Ross would say that.
Yeah.
Like, hey, maybe this is one of those things where, like, yeah, we got Xavier Worthy hurt, but now we have to realize that we've got these other options that we can disguise and do these little gimmicky plays that sometimes the Chiefs do. And all of a sudden, in the game on Sunday, it's, you know, 7:30 and the Chiefs are victorious. And you're like, what was something that stood out? And you're like, well, no, great. Four catches for 65 yards and a touchdown. Where was that week one? Well, that's why they didn't win the game, because they didn't have other options. They didn't plan for it because they had Xavier Worthy in the option. Now they don't. The drawing board's different. I'd like to see Noah Gray get a little bit more action.
You know, and I'll kind of piggyback that and say all the tight ends would be good to get your guy Bob involved. Tanyan,
yes,
you know, be nice to see him kind of get involved. Just because you had a wide receiver go down doesn't mean it has to be the wide receiver that steps it up.
Right.
I just like the veteran in Hollywood Brown. I'd love to see the running backs, quite frankly, step it up. I'd love to see a 50-50 split in runs versus passes this weekend, like a legit 50-50 split, not 22 runs and 35 passes or something like that. Give me 30 runs. Give me 30 passes. If they keep it like that, now you're running a balanced offense, and Philadelphia can't utilize that defensive line. But you've got to get the run going early, man. Come on, Andy. Let's go.
And utilize the running backs in the pass game, too. Make it easy for your quarterback. Make it easy to pick up 4 or 5 yards. We heard Jay Binkley yesterday. Mm-hmm. Rashard Smith was a wide receiver at SMU for 3 years before he turned to a running back.
That's
he knows
right.
how to run a route.
Yep.
And then hopefully we're all having the same conversation we had after the quarterback's play.
Hey, man, what did you make Mahomes yesterday? Was that his best performance ever?
It was in week one. He was one of the best quarterbacks under pressure. Coming up on the other side, we will get to Alex Gold, as he's got some bets for you. And don't forget, college football coverage on 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by Bud Light. Bud Light and Tanners are teaming up to make every college game day legendary. Every Saturday, rep your college team, catch every play, and enjoy $15 buckets only at a Kansas area Tanners location. Bud Light and Tanners, from the stands to the bar, your game day headquarters. Alex Gold coming up on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Trent McDuffie, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Welcome back to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan. It's time for Golden Locks with Alex Gold.
Gotta figure out how to make money on this thing. It's simply too good.
Top three favorite segment of mine today and every week on Thursday. The Golden Locks, baby. I can feel all these in my plums because, well, we weren't so hot, Mr. Gold, were we, on our circuit bets week one, and now we're going for the Bobby Award. Should we do this or should we not?
Well, the Booby Award, actually, Booby is what it's called. That would be Booby. The Booby Prize we're going for, the Circa Millions contest. Now, luckily, that was not – those were picks for, you know, six of us combined. I will point out, I did not personally go 0-5 last week.
Oh,
I
just stop say, it.
You did
stop
not personally
it.
Go 0-5. Well, we do this segment. I want to make sure you know that. Dusty, you didn't go 0-5 either.
Boobs are great.
Yeah, I didn't. I mean, I loved the Washington pick. I was really interested into that game. But again, you know, it's a team sport, and now we have to suck as a team and a chance to win $25,000.
That is the move. We are closer to winning the last place prize this quarter.
Ooh.
Than the first place prize. There's 300 other entries that went 0-5 like us. There's only 47 entries that went 5-0. And then, as you suspect, there's like a group of 2,200 that went 3-2, another big group that went 2-3. So if we're playing the quarter game, we're better off hoping we go 0-5 or 1-4 this week, because otherwise we're in no man's land. If we go 3-2, we're done for both the quarter for best and quarter for worst.
So what do you get if you get the worst?
$25,000.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, go for the worst, Alex.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, strive to be the worst, my son.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to do. So, on this segment, we'll talk about picks I do truly like, but we are going to pick some games that we're not as confident. I know that the joke that everybody can make is, well, just do what you did last week and you'll go 0-5 again. I will say, we've all bet enough over the last couple of years that 4 weeks in a row, have enough knowledge, I think we all do, that you're not going to go 0-5 unless you are intentionally trying to pick some losers as well. I'm not saying you're gonna go 5-0, but last week, even though we thought we had some good picks, we had some — this is gambling — we had some that flipped on us, right? Like, you could argue Seattle should have won the game outright, mm-hmm. let alone not cover the 2.5 against the 49ers. And then, you know, Pittsburgh covered by 2, they need to cover by 3. There were moments there where they probably should have covered. The only one that was a complete miss was Miami. There were three people in our group that won in Miami, not Indy, and that thing was over very quick.
Well, I think it's interesting, though, because people say, well, just do what you did last week. You do realize, like, picking the loser is as hard as picking the winner, right?
Yeah. Of course it's going to be Bob, you know, but we're going to pick some games. Like, we're going to overthink the heck out of this now this week. You know that.
Oh,
we're, you
God,
know, so,
yes.
We're gonna try. We think we got the boss on board. He was a little skeptical. We got Bink on board too. Bink called me about 5 times yesterday, asking if we're tanking or not, and I said yes, we're tanking for this week, and then we'll see how it goes. And last week, guys, was a rough one though, truly, for the public. And the betting public is, you know, teams that get 51% or more of the tickets on the spread. And so in week one, the betting public had their worst week since week 5 all the way back in 2022. And so it was, you know, if you're someone that's listening, you didn't have a great week betting, like, yeah, join the club, right? Like, that was a majority of people this past week. And the same thing with the unders, you know, because the public loves points. Who doesn't love points and scoring? And so most people like betting overs, not unders. Well, last week, unders went 12-4, which was the tied for the lowest mark for any season since 2000. So it was a rough week one.
Here's a question that you may have an answer to, you may not. But week one, like, how much of that is a trend and that carries over? How much of that is an anomaly?
Yeah, we're going to find out. I mean, the trends last year was all about, you know, how favorites fared, and it was a year in which more and more of the favorites were winning, and then, you know, we'll see how that shifts moving forward. I don't think we should now assume that every game is going to be under. In fact, usually this is the kind of week where it reverts back, and we're going to be sitting here next week, and we find out that, you know, 10 of the games went over, you know, as the offenses catch up to the defense after week one or something like that, and teams are a little bit sharper. So I don't think people should overreact on the totals from last week, and whatever your thought process was for betting unders or overs last week, I would stick with it. But just in general, it's the, like, we all play fantasy football as well, and people like points. And so, like, it's tough for, I think, the general public to just go and bet unders, because that's not fun.
100%. Yeah.
But you know what's fun is winning money too, but it's not fun rooting for a team to go 3-and-out on the first three possessions of the game, and so everybody bets overs.
Alex, let's get into the game tonight. It's a juicy matchup. Packers, Commanders in Green Bay. Should be a fun one. Lots of star power on the field. Where are you leaning in this game? What do you like? What do you not like? It looks like the over-under is like 48.5, I think, the last time I saw this morning. That seems juicy for a team in Green Bay that's got a pretty solid defense.
Well, and that's what I like about this game is we all saw Green Bay look awesome, to say the least, against the Detroit Lions. And so, and I do think they're a Super Bowl contender. I have them in the Super Bowl this year. But is the reaction too much to where now we're just thinking they're going to roll through this thing and they're taking on a Commanders team? Yes, it's a short week on the road. But I get a Commanders team that, to me, has one of those really special quarterbacks. I think we all agree there. They have, you know, a wide receiver in Terry McLaurin who has plenty of experience with these short turnarounds, these environments as well, to settle in. And I'm getting 3.5 points on the road. Mm-hmm. I like the Commanders to cover. I don't know if they win this thing outright. The Packers, to me, are the better football team. But this early in the year, when not everything's clicking, when Micah Parsons still hasn't been in that defense fully yet, even though he was effective in the snaps, of course, he got. Mm-hmm. I like the fact that I'm getting 3.5, and that half point is so crucial. You guys know this. We talk about it all the time. You know, if it was 2.5 or 3, it's a different story, but I'm getting 3.5. They could lose by 3, and we still cash our tickets. So I'm on the Commanders plus 3.5. And then individually, I think there's some prop bets that are fun tonight and some good value. You know, Jaden Daniels, the quarterback there for Washington, his over-under rushing is 46.5 yards. 46 or more rushing yards. He did that in 7 of his last 10 games last year. I don't think this offense is much different. Cliff Kingsbury's still the offensive coordinator. So even if you believe that the Packers are going to have all kinds of success getting after Jaden Daniels, well, if they're not design runs, if he's getting pressured, he's going to run out of the pocket, and he's bound to pick up some yards just on those. So I like the over 46.5 rushing yards for Jaden Daniels.
All right, let me ask a kind of a philosophical question when it comes to gambling. You know, week one is in the books now, and here we are sitting in the second week of the season. You talked about last year. How much do you factor in last year's stuff when you're gambling this year?
I think on individual players, I lean more into that than I do overall teams. You know, so like last week we brought up the trend of, what was it? It was like the, you know, people were bringing up Andy Reid in week one, Harbaugh in week one trend. And now, in fair, you know, Harbaugh's now 6-0, I think, against the spread in week one. And maybe it is something that people are going to start leaning in on more. I don't buy into the team trends from last year carrying over as much as I do individual players. So like the Chiefs, you know, winning 17 one-score games last year, that already ended in week one last week against the Chargers. But individual players, like, especially with quarterbacks, like Jaden Daniels, to me, even if you think that he's going to take a slight step back, we know a huge part of his game is going to be running the football, being mobile and having that ability, which is why, like, I still feel good about the rushing yards for him. So it's more about individual props and players that we know about that I'm more confident in carrying over than, hey, this team was, under city throughout the season. They most of their games went under. Well, okay, it's a completely different schedule. It's a completely different scheme. I mean, look at the Chiefs' defense from week 16 last year, guys, to what we just saw in week one.
Yeah,
so right. I think the team stuff is a little bit different on the trends, and I wouldn't lean too much into that this early on in the year.
All right, let's look at the Chiefs and Eagles this weekend. Obviously a big one out at Arrowhead. How are you handicapping this sucker?
Well, the Chiefs are 1.5-point dogs, guys, at FanDuel, and we'll see if this stays where it's at because that's significant. You know, Patrick Mahomes, this is his 69th career home starts.
Nice.
And he is, yeah, it is. And he has closed as an underdog just once in the first 68. So this would only be the second time at Arrowhead, or at least as a home game, I should say, for Mahomes that he will be a dog. The last time and the only time he was a dog at home was against the Bills in 2022, and you might say, okay, well, what was the spread? What was the result? The Chiefs were 2.5-point dogs to Buffalo in that game. It was a regular season contest, and the Chiefs lost outright 24-20. And even if you're thinking about short favorites, you know, the Chiefs, let's say this thing flips and the Chiefs end up closing against the Eagles, and I don't think they will, as like a 1-point favorite. Mahomes has only closed as a 1.5-point favorite or less three times at home, and all three of those came against the Bills. So they've been either playoff games or big games against the Buffalo Bills. So we're in, you know, rare territory here for Patrick Mahomes being a dog. And I guess this is why I know you guys have talked about it too. Just what's the feeling if this team drops to 0-2? What's the feeling if they get to 1-1 and the narratives shift completely? And so are you still believing that Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are still this same team, this same middle of the same era of football and everything? Or do you think, look, they're not going to be as dominant? And so going back to trends, the fact that normally it's an automatic bet, Mahomes the dog at home, and some people maybe think, well, that's a different team. I'm still taking Patrick Mahomes at this point in time as a dog at Arrowhead Stadium, especially in the season opener. I get 1.5 with a guy that I still think is the best quarterback in football. We saw him obviously have to put the team on his back last week, and it wasn't good enough because of everything else that was going on with this football team. But until this is one of those where truly I will continue to bet it until you know, you're proven wrong, you know, on a fact that I get the best quarterback in football at home getting points.
I will bring this up because you know how I love individual prop bets in the NFL. And last week you gave us a really good one on Juju Smith-Schuster at that 19.5, crushed that, which for us, you know, Alex, that kind of screws us in the future because now that 19.5 is going to skyrocket to about 26, 27.5. Is there a receiver or a tight end that you necessarily like in this game? You don't have to necessarily bring up props or numbers or anything like that, but maybe somebody gets a little bit more attention now that you don't have Xavier Worthy in your play calling setup. You have something, a whole new different game plan. Like, is there a running back that you like? Because they say they're going to run the ball. Is there a receiver that you like that's going to step up, or maybe like a Noah Gray candidate?
I'm glad you brought up the tight end there and Noah Gray, because Cody and I were joking before the show and we were trying to think of tight ends, props, and you know what the market might look like in the touchdowns. I don't know if you guys noticed, and he was active on Sunday, or I guess Friday, last Friday. Robert Tonyan is 30-1, guys, to get a touchdown. 30-1 at FanDuel right now. I think the Chiefs are going to use more multiple tight end sets. He'll be active again. We saw, I know it was preseason football, but I think Mahomes does trust him a little bit. What a little guy's a little second and goal at the 4-yard line, a little play action. Tonyan's just open in the corner of the end zone. I like a flyer, just a little flyer on Robert Tonyan, 30-1 to get a touchdown. And if you really are excited, first touchdown's 100-1.
Wow. So,
that's a bet that I'm going to at least put like $5 in.
Are you putting that on the big board in the boss's office for an anytime touchdown?
So
you going with Bob Tonyan?
I want to.
So do it then, well, Alex. Who's holding you back?
Well, the boss is, because I'm told we can only use DraftKings in that contest, and he's not on the board on DraftKings. So he's only on the board at FanDuel.
Really?
Because trust me, I want to use Robert Tonyan 30-1 for the contest this week, but I don't think I'm allowed to.
Oh, that's a loophole. We're out of it. Just put him on the board, okay?
I want the bet there. That, you know, people won't be happy, but if you do that and you hit it in our in-office contest, it's over already.
Well, I hit plus 1,800 last week. You know, Travis Kelce, you know, plus 180 to score an anytime touchdown.
Yeah, I was gonna say not 18-1, Bob.
No,
yeah, well,
no,
plus
no,
180,
plus 180.
But you're better shape than a lot of us.
First off,
everybody. Explain what DraftKings is doing, having Carson Steele on there at plus 1,400 at any time.
Come on, Arkansas. Carson Steele's on the practice squad.
Yeah, I don't know why. I noticed that FanDuel, or compared to like DraftKings is only offering touchdown bets on players 15-1 or lower, whereas FanDuel lets you bet on some guys that are 17-1, 20-1, 30-1. So hopefully they get that added, because if Robert Tonyan ends up on DraftKings, I am going to enter 30-1.
Shipley's on there, and he's not even playing.
He's hurt. He's hurt. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't understand that at all. I don't understand the 15-1 or lower. That doesn't make any sense to me either. All right, rookie of the year. Who's the biggest mover after week one?
So this is the wide receiver down in Tampa. Anybody that plays fantasy football are feeling pretty good if they drafted this kid already. Amika Egbuka, wide receiver with the Bucs for Baker Mayfield, one of his top targets now. He's a starting slot receiver for Tampa. McMillan's hurt. We know Chris Godwin's on the PUP list. And he had two touchdowns last week, I think 40-something yards receiving, but one of the touchdowns was the game winner. Mm-hmm. He's going to continue to get plenty of volume and opportunity. He was 17-1, guys, before last week. He's jumped all the way up to 7-1. He has the third-best odds at FanDuel to win it. He's behind Ashton Gentry, who's still the favorite, even though he just kind of had a okay week one. And then Cam Ward, because he's a quarterback, is always going to be in the mix. He has the second-best odds, but I think Egbuka's going to be in the mix the whole year just because of the opportunity he's going to get. You know, he's got some odds, long-term trends against him in terms of the position he plays. Over the last 6 years, quarterbacks have won the Rookie of the Year, Offensive Rookie of the Year, four times. The other two were wide receivers, though, so it's possible. It has happened, and this year you only have one quarterback that you're most likely competing with. This is not last year where you have three rookie quarterbacks or something like that. It's just Cam Ward. So that makes it really interesting. The only thing I'll say about one quarterback, if you're asking for a dart throw still, and I swear, no pun intended, Jackson Dart, if he actually starts in the next week or two, I don't hate, you know, throwing a few bucks, Dusty, 20-1 for Jackson Dart.
Yeah, he's on DraftKings plus 2,200. I want to bring this up real quickly because I look at, you know, the MVP odds and Josh Allen sitting at the top, Lamar Jackson third, and Jordan Love at 1,000. If Jordan Love wins this game tonight against Washington, there's got to be a flyer on that man as well for the MVP.
The tricky thing for him is going to be still the stats and where he racks up. You know, he's going to hit all the qualifiers probably. Like, you know, if they win tonight, that's not a divisional game. But if you believe the Packers are going to win their division, if that's the case, okay, that's the first benchmark that I think we hit on last week a little bit that you have to have. And then, you know, typically you got to be one of the top one, two seeds in your conference. Okay, the Packers seem like they're in play for that. So he'll hit those like minimum requirements. I just don't know statistically if he's going to put up big enough numbers to overtake. Let's say Josh Allen is the one seed for Buffalo. We know the numbers are going to be there for him. Same thing applies for Lamar Jackson, although the head-to-head loss in week one might already have hurt them, you know, for the number one seed. That might have already ended it for Baltimore, frankly, because of the loss to Buffalo. Mm-hmm. So I don't like Love at 11-1 only because number-wise, it's not the same issue with Jalen Hurts where you're only going to throw, you know, 3,100 yards. Mm-hmm. But Jordan Love, is he going to throw for 4,200 yards this season and be towards the top in touchdowns? I don't think that's their style of play in Green Bay, especially with this defense that they got right now with the Packers as well. So unless you think, you know, Golden, the rookie wide receiver, is going to come along pretty quick and they're going to start being able to have some big, big plays down the field and Love's going to put up the huge numbers, I actually don't like Jordan Love at 11-1.
All right, what's coming up on your show?
Yeah, where are you guys at so people can see your sexy asses?
Yeah, we don't have a camera set up today, but we are
in person.
They
can come see. All the ladies are looking for you. Where should they go?
That's right. They can join us in person at Barry Woods Crossing. That's the Rally House location we're at today. We've got a $250 gift card people will be able to register to win as well. Perfect time to get geared up for the Chiefs game, of course, on Sunday against the Eagles. Plus, Dane and Hughes going to join us at 11 o'clock. Tyrann Mathieu, Super Bowl champion, former Chiefs safety, is banging the drum. He'll join us at 11:30. So, fun show coming up.
All right.
Good deal.
We'll talk to you next Thursday. We'll see you, Monday.
There you go. Thanks.
Yeah, that is true because he won't be in here tomorrow.
We're at Community America tomorrow.
Very good. Nice. All going on for you, man.
You put the best looking guys on the road, man.
They really do. Well, they let Cody go. They just not at Alex. So let me.
Wow.
Was that out loud? I'm sorry.
Dude,
I'm
just, Cody's geez, attractive.
I thought we were talking about Alex. Here.
Cody's like those.
Defend my son.
Cody's like that professor. You know, he's got that professor look.
Oh, yeah. You see him walk into class, you're like, oh, he's here today.
He has debuted that segment yesterday, Professor Tapp.
Yeah, he has that little peppercini next to his name on, what was it called, like ratemyprofessor.com? Mm-hmm,
Rate My Professor.
Where you can find out if they,
no. Yeah.
So like in college.
Dude, we barely had email in college, okay?
Yeah, we had this device where you could, you know, each kid after a semester could rate their professor based on like, you know, toughness, you know, how they did
awful.
It. It's awesome. Because you could avoid all the bagheads that were like, you know, jerks and like, you're going to have to do this. You have to do this. And then you'd find like a professor in your major and be like, this guy's really cool. He's low key.
So there
like,
were positive reviews.
Tons.
Oh, okay, good.
Oh, tons.
Okay,
tons.
Really? Okay, good.
And then you'd go to your schedule and you'd put all this up here. and you would say, okay, here's the deal. This guy, you know, he does syllabus week. He does his structure is projects. Whereas like another person would be like, your entire structure for Mrs. Lewis's class, Professor Lewis, is she's going to have you do all these like essay sort of tests. They make you buy the books that are $400 so you don't get your money back. Not going to that class. And then they would have this little pepper next to the teacher, and that meant the teacher was hot.
Oh, really?
Dead serious.
Oh, nice.
Did you ever see those peppers, Mac?
Oh, 100%.
I mean, it was male-female. Like,
yeah,
was,
but anybody could put a pepper up, though.
Yep. Like, sure, yeah, right, but I mean, like, when it was,
I
like...
I hope everybody had a pepper.
Yeah.
You have a pepper?
It was a great thing. It was awesome.
Okay, good. I'm glad there were positive reviews. Because, you know, you look at reviews for, like, things you want to buy, right? Do you look at the reviews for stuff on Amazon mm-hmm. or whatnot? I only look at the one-star reviews to see why that review or that product isn't any good. And I like to see what they have to say about that. Because a five-star review is like, yeah, you're doing a great job. And that doesn't help me. Give me a one-star review. Let me know what's wrong with that. Now, the other thing that I will say, and maybe you guys know the answer, maybe you don't. Did the teachers look at that and try to improve on the feedback that they were getting on that? Because I know if I were a professor and people were all saying, like, I didn't do this the best way, I would try to work on that so I would be better for my students. Again, they're paying to have this education, right? They're paying for you to teach them. Do it the right way.
I remember the only reason I knew one of my professors did it, shout out to Joe Moore, is that he was like, well, you know, you can go out to this class. If you don't like me, you can tell me how you feel about me, but I do know that I got a pepper next to my name. I was like, there you go, Joe. Like, you know, I'm like, well, there you go, man. Live up to the expectations. Awesome. Yeah, it was a cool way. Like, my college years, like, I was just thrown into like a bunch of technology. Like, we were the first, like, basically the first wave of like Blackboard.
Oh yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It was just like, hey, here's the deal. All the assignments are on there. If you miss class, do this. And we're like, it's crashing every other day. Like, we cannot rely on this. Now it's a thing. Our math classes in college or our college algebras and stuff like that, not college algebra, but like the upper echelon classes was on a CD-ROM into a computer, and it was 50 people in a room and two professors walking around if you had questions.
Oh, God.
Total chaos.
That sounds awful.
So I went to my advisor. I'm like, hey, I need this course to graduate college for math. Do you have anybody that, like, standalone teaches it? And they're like, yeah, this lady will. And I went in there and I raised my hand. It was when I interned for your guys' show. And I go in there and I was like, I'm terrible at math, but I'll be here every day. I'll stay after class. I will ask questions and I'll give you my all. Ended up getting a C. But math wasn't my thing. So yeah. I there's no way that I could go into a class. I mean, I sat down day one, you know, my anxiety and everything. I sat down, we put the disc into the computer, and they're like, all right, course one, read the instructions, take the pre-quiz, take the practice test. Then if you're ready for the test, take it. And feel free to go at your own leisure.
Oh,
and I was
no.
just like, absolutely not. I was
I give you a lot of credit because you bailed. I would have stuck it out.
No,
I would have sat there and suffered all year long, all semester long, complaining the whole time.
No way. I'm not
quitting this because, you know, if I quit, I can't do that. No, I would have been a pain in the ass. I couldn't have done that class, but I would have tried to stick it out. I recognize what my strengths are here, and I'm bailing.
I was defeated when I sat down and said, the hell are all these computers in here? Where's the chalk and the green board?
Yeah.
Oh, we don't do that anymore. I said, oh, I don't go here anymore.
Well, like when my daughter had like open house, and I still feel bad about this to this day, her fourth grade teacher, and it's going through all this math stuff. I go, stop. Why are we doing this to these children? Like, we're pressuring them with all this stuff, and she's, like, turning all red. I'm like, I just think I don't get it. I just don't get what we're trying to do here to try to teach math a different way. It's numbers. They haven't changed. It's not like science and things evolve. It's math.
And you'll never get to take your calculator with you throughout life.
Oh, well, that, you know.
That's, yeah. All right.
Cody, there is no ratings yet for Cody. I'm rating.
Oh, man, pull it on there and put a pepper next to his name.
So does he have a pepper or not?
It's just NA. There's no ratings. There's
pepper
no nothing.
Pepper tap
for
that ass.
Yeah.
Pepper tap. Coming up on the other side, we wrap this show and get you ready for a Red Friday number two on the season here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Nick Bolton, and you're listening to Fresco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Nobody cares about golf, but I do. Got the Ryder Cup coming up very shortly.
Is that the breaking news?
No, breaking news coming out of LIV Golf.
They folded.
Greg Norman has announced his departure.
So they have folded. I was just joking.
You got fins to the left.
Lasted
fins
long.
Fins to the right, and Greg Norman is out on LIV. Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah, you don't have to tell me that.
I know.
My mother always thought that was dance to the left, dance to the right.
Fins. That's why in the crowd when you go see Jimmy Buffett live, everybody puts them up and they go with the chorus.
And then she also thought, why don't we get drunk in school was the song.
Screw.
Ma, you're not, you got to turn them hearing aids up.
Well, you know, come Monday, everything will be all
it
right.
It will.
Also, don't forget, you can count, you can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL games every Sunday, all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. So that's like $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
Barstool has a great tweet this morning, and it kind of goes back to something we were talking about earlier with the NBA. Adam Silver calling the NBA, quote, a highlight league, telling fans who can't afford streaming service to watch highlights on social media is so GD stupid. I mean, that's going to be the biggest story of the day now, isn't it? The Adam Silver comments about, you know, the NBA, you don't need to watch the games because it's just a highlight league when he's getting $76 billion over the next 11 years from his TV partners and basically belittling fans who can't afford to have all these streaming services.
Yeah, but we're a highlight sport, so just have Twitter. Okay, thank you, Adam.
I mean,
you are a rich
idiot. You don't know what you're talking about. Now, I know that's, look, I understand that's how a lot of people do consume sports, and they've been doing that for the better part of a decade right now. But as the commissioner of the league, where your league is basically funded by television networks, going out there and saying, just watch the free highlights on Twitter, I can't think the TV partners are happy with that. I guarantee you that he's been on the phone since, you know, 7 o'clock this morning talking to all the TV partners going, I didn't mean it like that. I'm sorry. You know, $76 billion over 11 years is a lot of dough, man. That's what funds these leagues. Once the TV money goes away, I hate to see what happens to these leagues.
That's like the owner of Costco being like, don't buy the food, just try the sample.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what it is. Yeah, don't worry about buying any of this stuff. Just eat all the samples till you're full.
Yeah.
Now, there are people who do that.
Yeah.
Samples are great.
They're supposed to be for the kids. Or if you're on the fringe. If you're on the fringe, you're like, I don't know if I want this coconut shrimp. Is it too coconutty? I'll try one. Okay, I'm sold. But how many people go in there and they just eat the samples and they just go, they never buy the product?
Of course.
Well, okay. that happens a lot. I don't have a problem necessarily with that, but they're not just for the kids at Costco. You got to ask, the kids got to ask the parent for permission. They won't give the kid anything
until
the parent says, yeah. Well, God forbid they eat something they're allergic to these days, which I mean, something may have gluten in it and you know, Riker may have an allergy to peanuts and Grayson may have an allergy to gluten. And so God forbid so we got to ask.
You do have to be careful with that though.
You do. No, because
it's a good point.
You have to ask.
My buddies, Sean, his lady to this day, when she was a kid, she doesn't eat McDonald's anymore because when she was a kid, they had the fish fillet in the fries, or not the fries, but
they cross-contaminated.
And like she took a bite of her burger and had cross-contaminated somehow and just her throat swelled up. And so she's like, fool me once, never do it again.
Yeah. If you have those seafood allergies, those are brutal, man. Those are brutal. So, yeah, you got to be careful with all that kind of stuff. But, no, the people that I have the problem with the sample people, I'm sure you probably do as well, the people that hover. The hoverers around the sample as the lady's taking it out of the microwave or whatever the hell she's cooking it in, and she's starting to bring it out, and then you see the hovering start. Ma'am, it's a pizza bagel. Okay, they're very good. We've all had thousands of them in our life. In fact, if you want to buy 96 of them right now, they're right here. You don't need to hover in this area with your cart and get in everybody's way.
I love the people that before they go try a sample, they go, ooh, what's that one?
Yeah.
And they like their fingers.
Oh, you pig.
I do want to bring this up because this is kind of what our show is all about. I try to spread this message. And I know the times are hard today. For obviously the date that it is and everything that's gone on in the world. We got a text from the 913 today. Hey guys, I just wanted to give you a quick shout out. The radio is sometimes an escape for me when I have hard times. I have to put my dog down today and life isn't really good right now, but turning on the radio and listening to you guys can calm in my mind. And I so appreciate you guys being here for all of us here in Kansas City. That is what it's all about. I know that sometimes you don't want to hear sports, but sometimes you don't want to hear about the news going on in the world because it's dark, it's heavy, it's terrible. I'm glad that we can be an outlet for some of you people out there. You may not like our takes. You may not like our attitudes, but here is an escape for sports and fun and entertainment. That's what we try to provide. I pray for you, man. That's one of the toughest things you'll ever do is putting your dogs down.
I'm not looking forward to that at all.
I've had to do it twice. It's one of the toughest things, but I'm glad that we can be an outlet for you today talking about the Eagles game, the Washington Commanders game tonight, the Royals winning last night, the Royals playing tonight. Mm-hmm. Again at 5:40, Josh Verner.
No, it's a late game tonight, which is so stupid, okay? Look, I'm watching the Cleveland broadcast last night, and they're like, don't forget, tomorrow's game's at 7:15. And
oh,
I'm like,
it's late, yeah.
I'm like, you had all these games early all week, and now here's the final day of the series. The Royals need to get away.
6:15.
And it's, well, 7:15 Eastern. Yeah. But so you're starting the game basically 30 minutes later than you would have started the other days this week on a getaway night. Now, I understand why they're doing it. Cleveland, apparently in their stadium now, has this area called the District where they took a lot of seats out and they bars and stuff. So they got some happy hour special. And it's also Thursday night leading into Friday and whatnot. But if you're going to go with weeknight games starting at 6:40, let's have them all at 6:40.
At least it's getaway to Philadelphia.
Yeah, it's not
getaway
far.
To Seattle.
Yeah, right. Like yes, you're right about that. Yeah, I don't want to know Philadelphia, man. That can be rough this weekend.
Somebody says, I eat about four samples before saying thank you. Moving on, feeling great about the free snack.
Hell yeah.
To each their own.
That's the right thing to do. Me too.
But you said thank you, and that's so important.
Yes.
All these people that take these, they never say thank you. Like, if somebody does something for you, like, not to toot my own horn, but every day I walk into the J, I'll grab a towel and I'll say thank you because somebody's there folding the towels, putting them out, cleaning them. Whatever it is, they're doing a service for you. And the sample person, man, at the grocery store, Costco, wherever it is, say thank you.
Mm. The game's on Fox. That's why it's the only reason it's a late game. Also on 96.5, The Fan. You can hear all that action tonight. Start with Vern's on Deck show.
It's the only game on Fox at 3:25. Yeah. They've dedicated their whole day.
No, I'm talking about the Royals.
Royals. Oh, the Royals game is on Fox.
Yeah. Royals on Fox. Chiefs on Fox. Knicks on Fox. Knicks in 5.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so it's a big TV game tonight. Okay, I thought it was because they wanted to sell more beer.
Why? Too.
Look, I'm taking the Adam Silver approach. What do you need TV for? You're just going to have the highlights.
Yeah, no doubt. No
that
doubt.
Sucks.
I mean, really one of the worst comments I've ever heard a commissioner make, man. I'm interested to see how the guys on ESPN handle all of this, too. Like, is Stephen A. Smith going to attack the commissioner? You know, that's a business partner of theirs.
Well, he plays solitaire, so he's fine.
That is true.
He swipe to the left and check the highlight.
Yeah, he shouldn't attack him at all because I will bury him.
You're absolutely
he's the last
right
person
about
to say
that. Peep. I forgot about that. That's a great point by you guys.
Yes.
Yeah, if he does.
I'm like, going to be irate.
Wait a second here.
Yeah,
you don't even watch the games in person. Mad dog screaming about it. Can you believe that the commissioner?
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't forget, Mitch Holtis joins us tomorrow. It's a Red Friday here on 96.5 The Fan. And as always, in a time of down and out, go do something nice for somebody today. You never know. It could change their life, their day, their week, their month, their year. It is simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay positive, stay cool, stay groovy, stay nice. Coming up next, it's Cody Golden Drew live from Rally House. Cody Golden Drew, 10 to 2. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.